the big rig spitting out the rain. Just like a dream, the sweetest song. Come the morning, but the chorus is gone. We were only kids just dreaming of the road. Starting off this set of music. Hey, it's Gunnar, and you're hanging out on Steel City Music, and I'm your host, of course, and that was the track Long Highway from Le Barons as well. Part Hamilton, part Toronto, part a little bit everywhere in Ontario, I think. I think that's what I remember. I really should look it up, but I really dig that track, so I thought I would throw that in this set. Now, in this hour, two chats. Spoke with Natalie Reese, very, very cool person. And we'll get into that in a little bit later. And of course, it's Susie Corey, and she came on my radar about 2 years ago, maybe a little bit before that. She was sending some music out into the world, and a track found, I went, wow, she's kind of like this, rock pop singer, but she's doing country. And, I wasn't like, you know, when you start listening to something, you go, should this really fall under the country realm? But I guess over the last 20 years, if not longer, country music is being more and more and more pop rock oriented in some aspects. And then now there's always the great debate of what you like. Do you like old school country or new country, that sort of thing? When I looked at the landscape of the music, judging by what people were listening to on radio in regards to like what the corporate chains were like flipping stations and going to country. And I would listen like going to me, this is pop music. But then again, I start thinking to myself, you're an idiot. It's a generational thing. People listen to country music and then they like their version of country music and, you know, yada, yada, yada. You know, I have a bad habit of that. I try to break myself of that, you know, and maybe all of us should, where we have to stop pigeonholing something into one thing we do it just so we can figure it out or identify with it or, you know, put it in its proper place. That might be the best solution when you're doing things with pop culture, right? So anyway, cool artist releasing a ton of singles over the last little while. And she'll be performing a part of Gussapalooza. That's happening out in the Cookstown area on September 16th to 19th realm. Google up Gussapalooza. You'll get a full listing of bands and vendors and places to camp, that sort of thing. Go check it out if you can. But anyway, back to Susie Corey. her parents, I feel bad for, and I even say that in this chat, because the reason why she wants to get into music is after seeing Guns N' Roses. And I can't imagine having to deal with a child that is, oh, you want to be like Axl Rose? It's got to be tough being a parent. It really does. But anyway, it was a great chat with her, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of the other music that she puts out in the next little while. And hopefully she has more stories for me about growing up with her parents. Sorry, Susie. Here's that chat with Susie Corey here on Steel City Music. Check it out. You're listening to Steel City Music. I am your host, Gunnar Smith, Jamie Gunnar Smith, whatever the hell my name is lately. Touring Canada, touring the States, releasing singles all over the place from 2017 and on. Her parents didn't want her to get into music, but she got a keyboard and a microphone anyway at the tender age of, I don't know, she was pretty young when she got into music. She liked Axl Rose. A lot of weirdness goes on in this intro, but she goes from being rock into country. All that's happening. Susan Corey, how are you?
I am fantastic. That was a pretty great introduction. Wow. Well,
thank you very much. But, you know, I said all those things in the intro, and I'm sitting here like going, that's got to be a tough haul on your parents. Because there's nothing wrong with being creative. Like, hear me out. There's nothing wrong with having a creative child. But, you know, when your kid says, I want to be a singer because I saw Axl Rose, at some point your parents must go in the backyard, look at one another and go, do we put her in a foster home? What do we do here? I don't know what to do. What do you think?
Well, that's exactly what happened, kind of, because, you know, I was 13 or 14 at the time when I first went to see them. And when I came back and said, that's what I want to do, and they knew it was because of Guns N' Roses, I think that put a little bit of fear into them of going into the music industry, you know, because the connotations that goes along with that. And then the whole idea that I wanted to do rock music was like, no, you know, so I get it now as an adult, I can see their view, but, you know, it just goes to show that at the end of the day, whatever you're intending to do in your life, you're going to end up doing it anyways. So, you know, parents stopping you from doing it might not be the best choice.
That's true. But you can understand why they get a little worried. I mean, if you went out and saw just a normal rock and roll band or whatever, I'd be kind of like, yeah, kid wants to do that. That sounds great. Let's throw some money at it. Guns N' Roses, I don't know. I don't think the kid's going to make it. She might end up killing herself. I don't like any of this. You know, I could understand the apprehension on that one.
Well, that's the thing. And I mean, right now they're a lot more tame, but back then that was in the height of their fame. They were crazy, so I get it.
Pretty volatile. I remember all the shows, even the ones that didn't happen. I was like, oh my god, something bad's gonna happen. But anyway, we go from that into getting into a music career, and what did you start writing your own music? That's the other thing too, because there's the formation years, but when did you start writing music before you started writing music in a country style?
Well, you know, as you kind of mentioned, I fell in love with the idea of becoming a performer and wanting to perform when I was a teenager, but I never really pursued it, and I never really wrote any music or anything like that. It's only more as an adult, as you mentioned, 2017, I'd probably go back to 2016 is when I started to get the idea that I wanted to do this, and then started writing music and having no real formal training. I mean, I took music in high school, but right. That's not, you know, and I don't know. I think sometimes your gut tells you to do something because it has a feeling that you do know how to do that, even though, like I said, I don't have musical training per se, and I'd never written any music. I'd been around musicians, and I know I love music, and I knew that I could write, or just had a feeling that I did. And as I started to write more music, you know, I realized, yeah, I can actually write great melodies, and, you know, I have a feel for that. And I think that just comes from listening to great music. You learn a lot just from listening to music. Doesn't mean everybody's going to write a great song, but, you know, I think the best way to learn, and even till this day, I just listen to a lot of different styles, and you look at writing of different artists, and, you know, that's the best way to learn. So then you asked about transition from rock to country. It kind of happened in a funny way because I started working with a producer, Brent Woods, in Los Angeles. And this guy, he plays with Sebastian Bach from Skid Row. He still tours with him now. And he's played with Vince Neil and, you know, he's worked with Kiss. And I'm speaking of Kiss, got my Kiss shirt off. So, you know, I'm like, oh my God, I was introduced to him. We became friends. And I thought, this is my guy to work with, you know, because he's a producer. He's a rock guy and we're going to do a great rock album. And when I went to LA, the first thing he said was, I need you to sit with yourself and stop trying to imitate anybody that you know, like Axl, that you idolize, and instead find your own sound. Who are you? What do you sound like? What do you, you know, when you write a song, it has to sound like you and not trying to be something else. And it was during that whole process that I started writing songs that sounded more country than rock. And he recognized that and said, these are country songs. They're not rock songs. And I tried to deny it until, you know, a few months later, we'd recorded a couple of songs and I was flying to Los Angeles and on the plane with me was Billy Ray Cyrus. And I got to talk to him and we got chatting and then he ended up saying, you know, send me some music. I'd love to listen to your stuff. And I sent him a couple of songs and he went, this is really good stuff. And, you know, I just thought it's like the universe sending me a sign to say, okay, country is the way to go. You know, you're getting Billy Ray Cyrus telling you that. So.
Mama never raised a son to be a wandering cowboy. But a dream and a fight could sometimes steal you away. Buses and bars, girls and guitars, taking this life just a little too far. The road back home so many miles away. So you crash and you burn and you start to learn. There were signs on the road at every wrong turn. Angels that you couldn't see watching over you with another plan. Yeah.
just so lucky that you have that, you had that experience to like help you guide you into what you're doing now. That's not all of us are lucky like that. It takes a long time to figure out where we're going to find our groove in life. And that's great that Woods helped you find your voice, that creative self. Now, did he produce those first couple songs? What other producers that have you worked with? Because I know from some reading that you've worked with John Angus McDonald from The Trues.
Yeah, and I mean, he's incredible. And it's so funny because it was the first time I'd written some songs, and I don't even play instruments really well. You know, the way I was writing when I first started was I would just sing it into my phone. So all I had was these voice notes of songs that I'd written and me singing them. And I was looking for a producer here in Toronto because, you know, I was just getting into the whole music thing. And I thought, okay, well, who am I going to work with? I don't know any producers. I don't have any connections in the industry. So I basically looked for some producers who produce bands that I particularly like. And one of them being the Glorious Sons, who I absolutely love, one of my favorite Canadian rock bands. And it turned out that John Angus McDonald had produced their album. And that's why I reached out to them, not even knowing who the Trues were. So, right. You know, I say that embarrassingly now, but after working with John Angus, I said to everyone, listen, I have to be honest with you. I reached out to you not because of the Trues, but because you worked with the Glorious Sons. But once I worked with him and, you know, then started listening to the Trues, now they are just one of my favorite bands too, not only for their music, but their live performance is incredible. Oh, yeah. So I feel so fortunate, yeah, that I got to work with them.
They've been doing it pretty hard now for well over 20 years in the Canadian music industry. Hey, if you're just tuning in now, sorry, you're listening to Steel City Music with your host, Jamie Gunner-Smith. And my special guest right now is Susan Corey. She's taking part of the festival in Gussapalooza out in Cookstown. It's 16th, 17th, 18th. It's happening. When are you playing, though? What time are you on? What stage? What are you doing?
I'm on the 17th, and I'm playing at around 3 p.m. I don't know which stage in particular, but I guess I'll find out when I get there. But it's kind of a funny story because Russ Robson and I met and his now wife, Valerie, at something that they do at a flea market. It's a, you know, indie showcase for indie artists.
Okay.
And that's how we ended up meeting. And then, you know, he said to me, I'd love you to come play the festival. And he just played a festival that I organize every year, the Love Revolution Festival.
That was, so, well, I want to ask you that, yeah.
Yeah. And it's just funny. You know, that's why I think you have to put yourself out there and just be open to things. And it's funny how life just kind of puts you in contact with the right people. You know, kind of like what I told you with the producer in Los Angeles. We became friends first. It was through a mutual friend that we met, became really good friends. And I'm like, this is a really cool guy, you know, and you end up working with these people. And that's kind of like the succession of everything that's happened in my life, including how I became now one of the artists on Gussapalooza.
Ready to shine on the world.
you've been working very hard over the last couple of years, even though let's just discount the 2 years. Everyone discounts that 2 years of COVID. But singles you've been putting out, you've been getting airplay on Sirius FM, and you're getting a lot of Spotify, and you're doing some festivals. That's over the last couple of years. Now that we're moving into 20, well, I mean, I might as well say we're moving into 2022, where it's August, it's 2021. We're pretty much wrapping up this part. What do you think you're going to, what would you like to achieve come 2022? Like, what's the next step for you? There's always these different levels of moving yourself forward. What would you want to do in 2022?
So I think COVID has affected you because we are 2022.
Wait. 2022. Okay. Okay, wait. Let me look. Hold on a second. Yeah, that's right. I didn't put enough coffee in this one. 2023 is what I meant to say.
I don't think you didn't put enough coffee. Put something in the coffee.
Okay, so 2023, what is the next level for you?
Definitely expanding on the Love Revolution Country Music Festival. I mean, that is so near and dear to my heart because I started it in 2020 because of everything that was happening during COVID and, you know, people not being able to perform and fans not being able to go to shows. It was a way that you do it outdoors and people could be next to their car. It's kind of like a tailgate, you know, and you bring blankets and whatever. It's kind of like a hippie country Woodstock. So, and for me, it's more than just music. It's about bringing people together. And, you know, the whole idea that love is at the core of everything and having love and music, nothing better than that in life, you know? So it's a message. It is really about a revolution that I'd love to see go all around the world.
Awesome. Hey, where can we find out more about you online? Where do we go?
You can go to my website, which is probably the best thing. It's suzykory.com, suzykory.com, or you say Z, right?
Sure, whatever.
Z-I? Yeah.
Listen, you're asking me about how we say things. I thought it was 2021 still. I don't know why.
Well, I was like, did he just say 2021?
I don't think we should listen to this guy anymore. He's not very informative. Hey, Suzy, thanks for the interview.
Thank you for having me. Hi, this is Suzy Corey, and you're listening to Steel City Music.
Got a feeling, got a good feeling, got a feeling, got a
Okay, the next chat that we had was with Natalie Reese. She'll also be performing at Gasapalooza as well. It was fun to chat with her and going through her music. I did mention to her in the chat that she has an affinity for sad songs, but that I shouldn't have really said that because that doesn't really that kind of pigeonholes her. And all of her music, not all of it's sad. She loves it. She loves sad songs, but not all the music is sad. I look forward to hearing more from her. Here's that chat. Check her out. Natalie Reese on Steel City Music. You're listening to Steel City Music. I'm your host, Jamie Gunner-Smith. Maybe too hyper, maybe too much coffee. That's what everyone's been talking about in the office lately. Joining me right now is Natalie Reese. Hi, buddy.
Hey, Jamie.
I like how we have to pretend like we just met each other. That's so cool. And we did, actually, but I mean, there was that preamble.
Always. Yeah. I mean, I did just meet you. So that's fair.
All right. Here's the scoop. I did some reading on you. It feels creepy, by the way, when I tell people that. I'm like, oh, I did some reading on you. It's like, are you a stalker goofball? Like, no, I want to like know more about whoever I'm talking to. But so I did some reading on you. You just started out fairly over the last couple, just before COVID, you started playing that sort of thing. Singer, songwriter, on the side of hints of country music, a little bit, like a little smidge, some folk. Yeah. And I'm wondering where you're getting these influences are. How did you, with your style and writing, where are you getting your influences from?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say country and folk, because I feel like that's what a lot of people end up saying about my music. And when you try to pigeonhole exactly what your genre is, it's always really hard. So I'm always like, I'm a singer-songwriter with country and folk influences. But I guess where I'm actually getting those influences, God, I listen to like so many different types of music. I'm everywhere from listening to Fleetwood Mac, which if sure. anybody knows me, I'm obsessed with them. But then I listen to like everything across the board, all the way to like classical music, which I don't know if that's exactly in my music, but there's a lot of different influences in there. I love people like Kacey Musgraves. I love her lyricism. So maybe that's kind of like the lyrical part of my music. Yeah, kind of a little bit of everything from different types of music.
What's the scoop with you and sad songs? Because you come off like you write these songs and like, oh, these are like they're thoughtful. The imagery's there. And I'm like, she kind of really likes sad, that sad music vibe, you know, and I'm not pigeonholing you like she's a sad singer songwriter, but I mean, it seems to be something that you like.
I have talked about this an endless amount of times because I feel like myself, I'm generally a pretty positive person. And that was like the first thing you said to me when I came on today. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like everybody kind of needs that outlet for emotions, and songwriting very much is that for me. And so through any times in my life when maybe there's been, you know, emotions that feel kind of overwhelming, I head over to my piano or my guitar, and I feel that those are the times when the best music is made. And songs like Lawless Land, that came from a time in my life when I was really struggling with some pretty big emotions related to a certain relationship. And yeah, I find that that's just kind of my outlet. And so I guess that's where the sad songs come from.
Never saw it coming, came in like the sun. Creeping through the blinds, then a slow and steady burn. Took me by surprise, but I can't say I'm mine. When awake in the morning, and you're kissing my eyes.
Watching
deserve someone who loves me so.
This is like the beginning of your career, of your journey. So you're writing in that style on some of them. It doesn't mean you're not going to change, because you're influenced by everything in the world that goes through your brain, from culture, relationships, that sort of thing. Is that where you draw like some of your experiences for your lyrics, like with your relationship with your parents, with whomever you're with, that sort of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like most of my songs are based on true events in some way, shape, or form. Sometimes there's like a kind of twist on the lyrics to maybe make it like slightly more relatable to the collective. But I feel like overall, my music is very much based on life events for sure. And like I said, it's very much like my journal, and sometimes feels a little bit vulnerable being like, ooh, I think it's pretty clear what this song is about, but right, I'm going to put it out there anyways, because I hope it maybe resonates even with just like one person. But yeah, most of it is real life events. Welcome to the life of Natalie through my songs.
But that's like, that's a connection that people make. Like they go through something similar, so they, you know, they latch onto the song. Now, if it was someone that's in your life and they're hearing about you going through something, like, is she talking about the time when we went out and I was kind of a bitch that night, and then now she's writing about it? Like, wouldn't that make them just a little bit nuts going, oh my God, I got to keep P's and Q's around Natalie, or she's going to write something about me?
You know, I have had people past and present in my life say to me, like, I realize that you're probably going to write a song about this. And like, and, you know, like, I really do try to be like as human as possible. And, you know, have some empathy for like, there are things that happen in your life that are private moments. And so I don't want to totally throw somebody under the bus, but also, you know, sometimes there are things that happen in your life that are going to make for some really great songwriting. So,
hey, Natalie's got to make a living like everyone else. It's going in if it's going to make me a little bit of shekels.
Yeah. I mean, like, you got to make things interesting in your songwriting. Like, everybody's heard the same old love song every single time over. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm not just going to be writing about the like frilly, flowery things in my life.
Everyone does that. Hey, if you're just tuning in now, you're listening to Steel City Music. I'm your host, Jamie Gunner Smith. My special guest right now is Natalie Reese, and we're just having a chit chat about her music, that sort of thing. And she is performing at Gussapalooza between September 16th, 17th, 18th. Do you know the date that you're performing?
So it's the Saturday. I guess, what would that be? The 17th, I think.
Okay, cool. Now, is it just you and a guitar or a piano, or are you going to have a band with you?
So it's actually going to be me, myself, guitar, possibly piano, and then also my guitarist, which I'm really, really excited about, Nick Gierzak. I've been playing with him for years. I actually went to high school with him, and we took a guitar class together. He like aced the entire thing. I was there to, you know, learn from the start, but he's an incredible guitarist. He's played on all of my singles and my EP. And yeah, we just kind of have a really cool kind of like dynamic that happens when we play music. So he's going to be there with me.
Is he your gatekeeper for bouncing songs off of?
You know, there's a couple people in my life that serve as that, but Nick is definitely one of them. And we do quite a bit of songwriting together. And I feel like he can bring some really cool ideas, like guitar wise, and then I'll kind of add in some lyrics or melody. And those just kind of seem to jive really well between the two of us. So yeah, I'm really excited to have him there. And I typically play on my own, but I thought for this, it would be really, really sweet to have somebody else there with me.
Hey, can we talk a little bit about your COVID times and jumping on social media?
Oh, God, yeah.
Because you kind of developed this whole new audience through TikTok community. Can you speak upon that?
Yeah. TikTok is like a whole other beast. It was kind of interesting at first. And then, you know, I feel like there's like the stereotypical chatter about TikTok. Like, what is this? Like, it's just for Gen Z. Like, I don't need to be on there. But then I had a friend that was like, hey, I think you should really, you know, test the waters with TikTok. And so I got on there, and through the process, I found some really cool musicians on there that was just inspiring in and of itself. And then I also really got into TikTok lives during the pandemic. And that was such a cool way to interact with people kind of like internationally. It's pretty different from Instagram lives in the sense that it doesn't just send it out to your followers. It sends it out like to the algorithm.
To everyone, yeah.
So yeah. And yeah, I did kind of get to connect with a lot of different people during that time. And it did give me a couple different opportunities. Like I got to kind of interview in a couple different places. So yeah, TikTok kind of
gave me some
cool opportunities in the meantime.
Well, you have some momentum going now. I mean, we're going into, I got to be careful with my year now, because I did an interview earlier with Susan Corey, and I'm like, it's 2021 going into 2022. And she looked at me like, are you okay? I forgot what year it was, but we are going into 2023. And where does that put you at right now? Because you have the momentum going, you have some singles coming out, and what do you want to do in 2023? Like what do you want to achieve?
Yeah, that's a great question. One of the things that I've kind of been taking some time to do in the past number of months, I feel like I've been a little bit quieter on social media than I normally am, but I've been taking some time to like really hone in on different ways of accessing my creativity. So not just songwriting, but like I've been doing a lot of journaling and seeing how that kind of translates into poetry, which then maybe turns into lyrics. And I've been just kind of trying to really hone that skill a lot. And so my goal kind of over the next little bit is just to kind of really be writing some of the best music that I've ever written, because last year was a big year in terms of releasing music, and also beginning of this year. And I'm still obviously creating content in all of that time, and, you know, connecting with people and doing gigs and performances. But I really just want to write some of the best music that I've ever written.
Waking up on a Sunday morning, 7 years old, and I run downstairs, put on some Looney Tunes.
I made a discovery, and I read a name of someone you worked with and went, no, it can't be. Really? Matt Montour?
Yeah, he's my producer.
I had no idea. I was just like, I just thought, you know, I thought Matt just did stuff around Hamilton and that sort of thing. But I mean, he's been branching out quite a bit. How did you hitch up with him?
The most random story. So there's a Long and McQuaid, for anyone who doesn't know, it's a music store. Right. And I would go into it pretty frequently. I got to know some people that worked there. And shout out to Caleb. I know he's no longer there, but he was my favorite person to go in and see. And he did like every, he sold me my Taylor guitar. He sold me a bunch of equipment. He would do a bunch of stuff for my guitar. He was awesome. And so I asked him one time that I was looking for a recording studio. And, you know, I kind of had like a ballpark price range in mind, but also wanted it to be like a really good experience and kind of local. And he recommended Boxcar Recording Studio. And Matt works there. So that's kind of how I got in contact with him. It was kind of just like reference from somebody else.
Right. So the recording experience with Matt, obviously you're glowing talking about, we're both giving him a shout out, that sort of thing. But are you prepared to go back and do an EP coming in 2023, or just keep doing singles?
So at this point I've had the opportunity to do both, and both of like the EP and the two singles that I put out were done with Matt. I really enjoyed the EP experience, but I also loved being able to put out singles and really invest more time and energy into both of those songs to really make them something that I was super, super happy with. So I guess from like an investment of like time and money standpoint, I really appreciated being able to do the singles because we just took so much time with both of them. Right. Whereas the EP was a pretty quick turnaround actually. So yeah, I don't know. I think at this point I am hoping to put out some more singles.
Thanks for taking the time to chat with us today for Steel City Music. How can we find you online? Where do we go? Where do we go to find the whole thing? You have a link tree or something like that?
Yes, I do have a link tree. You can access it on my Instagram or my TikTok. But my handles on both of those are at Natalie Reese Music. And my last name is R-E-I-S. And yeah, you can find links to articles, all my social media from there, all the music on Spotify and Apple Music. My artist name is just Natalie Reese on all of those streaming platforms too.
Thanks for the chat, buddy.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Jamie. Hey, this is Natalie Reese and you're listening to Steel City Music.
Grips the whole nation with no reprieve from streaks of demons floating through the streets in a lawless land. Oh, so sweet vengeance, it curls my fingers in, makes me snarl. My snares, they're bearing edges from within, ghosts from a cruel past. Whispering to come back. Cause in a lawless land, there's no one save you from the hauntings of others' minds. When you turn to see a lover retreating, someone who was never mine. Come back. abandon in a lawless, in a lawless, in a lawless land. 'Cause in a lawless land is known to save from the hundreds of others' minds. When you turn to see your lover treating someone who was never mine, 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 never
Live from Mohawk College in Hamilton, you're listening to Indy 101.5 FM. CIOI.
Steel City Music.
Okay, in this hour of Steel City Music, we're going to do just a bunch of music. And it's Steel City Music, or SCM, number 4. You'll find it on Spotify. It's an hour of music. Some of it local. And some stuff that I spin on the station. Some of the stuff is from interviews that I've done, like just some of the artists that of recent interviews. So yeah, I put that together. And I thought, you know, yeah, because I mean, Steel City Music, we've been doing a lot of interviews lately and everything for the show. And I thought, you know, we need, sometimes you just need some music. So there you go. That's what we're going to do this hour. Okay, so in this set, you are going to hear some James Alphonse, who's great. I dig that guy. Interviewed him a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. Been following his music for a while now, so I threw one of his songs in. Of course, and also the Red Hill Valleys, Something About You Live. Nice track. Just saw them recently on CHCH Morning promoting one of their shows, and they're pretty funny. The Mountain Goats, Wage Wars Gets or Get Rich, Die Try is the name of the track. Look, Mom, No Computer, with the track Youth 8500. That's the cover that Dave Fritz from Droids Osaka did, and we were talking about that in that chat a couple weeks back. But this is the original, so there you go. Chaos, covering the Cars, Just What I Needed. It is just what I needed when I was listening to him. Like, going, man, Chaos is just so cool. Just awesome. Brutus Begins has a new track called Through a Phase. It's about mental illness. And sent him an email, see if he wants to have a little bit of chat about his new material and if he has an EP or LP coming out as well. Queens and Kings as well, with the track Testify. I think I have their interview coming up in 2 weeks or next week or something, because I chatted with them last week via Zoom. So yeah, I think I have so many interviews and trying to plan out the show that it's getting a little bit, you know, when you not that I've taken on too much, it's just that there's just so much going on all of a sudden, where over the last 2 years it's, you know, well, you know, like, what were we doing the last couple of years? Nothing. And then now everyone's getting back in the swing of things, and I guess on my end, I got to figure out what I can do and what I can't do. But anyway, we're going to play the track Testify,